ngicela uhambe uyofuna umsebenzi.
Uzoyithola kanjani hlelo khoneni?
Yonke into, impahla, imali.
This adulting thing, hey.
Uhamba imali?
Wizi nakai khoka challenge.
Awuna moto, imali. Fanele kube nemali phakathi.
Sebenza.
Sebenza.
Yavamta nam.
Sebenza.
Welcome back to another episode of Sebenza Lives Behind the Hustle. Ntokozo, how are you?
I'm good, thanks, Inaslav.
I'm good. I'm having a very lovely Monday. I know I'm wearing black today. I know everyone can't see it, but I'm wearing black and I'm like, I'm not this mood. I'm feeling very floral. I'm feeling very pink, very blue today.
Inside.
Yeah, inside. We have a very lovely guest today.
Yes,
and the topic
do.
Actually is, what makes the perfect employee?
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's a good one.
It's a really good one.
Mm-hmm.
We have Marty Bota. Marty, how are you today?
I'm very well. Thank you, Tango.
Thank you so much. What do you do? Before we jump in, like, I know people are like, okay, well, who's Marty and how is she going to be able to tell us about the perfect employee and employer?
Now, Marty's been busy with a lot of things. You know, I've been working for many years, mm-hmm. you know, especially in the recruitment and placement and sourcing space. So, interviewed thousands of candidates, you know, for roles. Currently, I'm the head of the department. We are doing funding and administration.
Mm-hmm.
That means we would allocate funding to, we get funding. We've been rewarded funding, and then we would obviously offer that to our host employers with candidates. So we would source candidates. So mostly we work in the unemployed and semi, you know, semi-skilled, unskilled space.
Mm-hmm.
So it's trying to get people into the workplace to gain some work experience.
Other than it being quite inspiring, I can imagine it's quite stressful as well.
Look, it is, but it's very rewarding, you know, because these are opportunities created for youngsters that would otherwise not have any opportunity to go into the workspace. And because, you know, employers can actually now employ maybe more people because it's funding, you know, it's either learnerships, internships, work integrated learning and so forth. So both actually benefit from these funding and
then what is the age group for this?
It is for youngsters. It's mostly for the youth. It's between 18 and 35.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice. I love that we create opportunities.
Mm.
How many people who actually come to you, especially these youths, actually aware of what they need to prepare? Do they come in just, you know, young little chickens shut up the eggs and they're like, oh gosh, give me a job, but you're like, oh no, I need to help you. So in terms of that,
we most of the people come in and they obviously don't have an idea, you know, how to dress, you know, how to present themselves. And we do offer, Lulaway offers ready to work training as well, so we put people through a basic course and saying, this is how are you supposed to answer questions and how you sit in an interview, you know, and how to dress and so forth. So we do also do ready to work training just to give them that little bit of confidence going into the interviews. But most of the people, obviously, they don't have an idea if they've never been to an interview.
Let's actually get into it. Before you become the perfect employee, you have to be the perfect candidate. So what are some of the tips you can actually give on, I've got the job interview, now what do I do?
Listen, I think certain skills and characteristics is required for certain jobs, you know. I mean, you guys need to be well-spoken, you know, quite clear voice, you know, confident and so forth. It depends where we place people, but mostly people need to take responsibility of themselves and others. You know, they need to be able to ask questions when they need help, you know, and be dependable and reliable. I think that's the most important things.
Very important.
However, people don't know that they are, actually. They don't know, really. They maybe think, yes, I am dependable because, you know, my family relies on me and. But they do experience that for the first time in the workplace when they're really willing to walk that extra mile, finish a job at a specific time, you know, meeting deadlines and so forth. But that's the experience. That's why it's a great opportunity for 12 months where they can gain these basic skills, you know, for the workplace. That makes them, you know, it just prepares them for the real work environment.
And what have been some of your observations in terms of making the best, of being the best employee? I mean, here I am, I'm working for this company, whether I like it or not. What should I really keep in mind in terms of making sure I can keep my job?
I think it's turn up for work.
Well, that's number one.
but like an everyday, you know, so dependability is extremely important. That reliability is, I think it's key, you know. And then flexibility is important because the workplace changes a lot.
True.
And you need to be flexible and you must be willing to learn. You know, that teachable spirit is immensely important. You know, you must be, there's just people that, you can't teach them anything. They just think they know everything. And yet they don't.
And I just want to jump on that. Do you feel with the youth, especially, there's almost
graduates,
like
actually.
We know we're so well prepared.
Instant gratification, you know. You want that job, not this one, Nikki, that I can offer you. You know, it's like you just want to be the manager. You want to be, especially when you've just graduated or something.
I have a degree.
Yeah.
You can't tell me anything, you know.
Yeah, but you guys are young. You're supposed to know.
It's something we notice. I think mine is almost, I wonder what causes that kind of thinking. Where you go, I've just graduated, I do have to have that high position.
I think everything now is instant. You know, I think mobile phones also creates that, you know, you get your answers. We've got Google, I mean, you get your answers straight away. Everything must be like immediate, you know, instant. And I think that it happens in the workplace as well. You know, when people just, they just don't, not willing to... to start right at the ground level, you know, and then work themselves up, it just takes too long.
Oh.
That's a millennials.
And I sighed there.
Yeah.
But what other tips can you give in terms of being the perfect
listen,
employee?
Listen, I would say this person just needs to also, you know, be honest, you know, and say, listen, I don't know anything.
True.
And it's okay if you don't know anything, but I'm willing to learn, you know, and then take instructions well. It's very important to take instructions well because otherwise you won't be able to execute it properly. And also, you know, it's important to give feedback. You know, so how far? If you get stuck, ask questions. People are very scared to ask questions.
They
just somehow, I think if you ask questions, I think somehow in culture, some cultures, it means that you are actually weak. So they don't ask questions. They would rather not say anything and then they miss the deadline or so forth. So I would say it's important to realize you've got to ask questions. Even if you want to know if you're on the right track, you know, ask questions. It's very important. It also makes the manager feel a bit more comfortable because this person's in the job, is in it, and he wants to do it right. It's very important to ask questions. That's very, very important. Even in the interview, you know, you have to ask questions. What is this job actually going to entail? You know, how soon can I start?
Yes.
You know, there's important questions, and some people don't say a word in the interviews. They hardly talk. And I think it's important to just be able to answer open questions. It's also very important, not just a yes and a no answer. So how, tell me about yourself. Oh, okay, I'm 18. and then you have to ask more. Say, no, listen, I'll stay in Alexandria. I'm 18 years of age. I'm one of five siblings. You know, just talk a little bit more about yourself to give the person a little bit of perspective of doesn't matter if you're staying in the shack or if you're staying in one of the better areas and which school you really went to, you know, and this everybody is starting fresh, you know, so but it's important so that the employer knows where you're coming from and shows that you're proud also of being part of that family anyway. You know, maybe a lot of people, I think they're just too scared to talk. I think you must talk.
I like that you brought up culture, which I found so interesting that it does kind of almost in a way affect how people interact, not just only socially, but even in the workplace.
Yes, it does.
Mm.
It really, and one has to understand that as an employer. You know, you must remember you're talking with kids that's never been to an interview at all in their lives. They're nervous, you know, they can barely talk, you know, and I think it's important to make them to relax, you know, to let them feel comfortable and say it's okay. It's not the end of the world, you know, just be, try and relax, you know, and just try and answer the questions well. But I think people are very nervous and they're scared. And culture does have a, you know, people also battle to look one in the eye. You know, it's also a culture thing, yes, as we all know. You know, especially if you're an older lady like I am, you know, it's like the youngsters are like, you know, they're like scared to look me
hello,
in the
Tani.
Eye. Yes, it's like, hello, Tani. It's like, no, it doesn't matter. It's okay. You know, you may look me in, but it's difficult because they are very scared. They're humble. And I think humbleness is great in the workplace because that's a skill you can't teach somebody. Ooh. And it's so important in the workplace, especially. It's definitely. But it doesn't mean you have to be weak.
What tips can you give in terms of being able to navigate a good relationship with everyone that you're working with? You've got this job now. Here we are. And
I think it's show that you're motivated, you know, show that you're keen to learn. As I say, get up, dress up, and turn up. You've got to be in work at work in time. Mm. It's very difficult in Johannesburg. You know, there's issues, and you can sit all day and talk about it, you know, from taxis and whatever, you know, taxi problems and transport problems. However, I think it's just so important for perceptions, you know, a person who's at work even earlier than later. It's just so much easier. It just gives that employer that idea of this person's really keen and really want to learn. So I think it's important to show your interest in willingness to learn and do the job and try and execute it as best as possible and meeting deadlines. And if you can't, speak up, you know, and ask for help. I think it's the most important thing. People don't ask for help.
It's almost a reflection of whatever you do during the interview, you continue it at the workplace.
Yes, yes. You've got to show and say thank you for the opportunity. However, obviously I don't know anything. And it's difficult. People should be taught and trained, you know, obviously the skill that's required. But it takes time as well. You know, I mean, you have to be patient as well. But you have to get from that employee, you have to get that willingness and that keenness, you know, and it's okay to make mistakes.
And what else do you teach, like, especially youngsters, especially when you go to your workplace? Of course, we all want to work with good people and stuff like that, but we all know that there is, like, bullying in the workplace.
Sure.
And how do you teach them to, if that happens, this is how you can get out of it?
I think it happens. It's very, very relevant today. Mm-hmm. People are bullied everywhere, from school to the workplace and everywhere else at home, most probably. So I think it's important to first acknowledge and realize that it's actually bullying, you know, because some people don't even realize that. They just take it, you know, and just because, you know what, it's difficult to find a job. So what you do, you just keep your mouth shut and you just do the work and you know that you're bullied. So I think it's important to speak up, and you're most probably not going to be very popular, but then bullying you won't be the first person who's bullied.
True.
So there might be other incidences, but I think you must go to the person that person's reporting to. I think it's very important.
You shouldn't be the first and you shouldn't be the last.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I think bullying doesn't start with you. So I think a person must realize when they do acknowledge and actually realize, listen, this is bullying, know that you're not the first person that's been bullied and you most probably won't be the last, but you hopefully is the last person because you'll have to speak up. So you go to the not this person's manager, the next manager, and hopefully you'll put a grievance in or something, you know. I think first talk about it, you know. You have to talk to that manager. If that manager is not paying attention to you, then you're going to have to take it up further. I think you have to, because where is it going to stop?
I think it's also important
it's not
you know those
stop.
Channels in your works, in your workspace. And
there's
and knowing,
supposed to be channels. Listen, not in every workspace. Because remember, we work with unskilled and semi-skilled, which is not necessarily corporate environments.
Mm.
And it happens often, maybe more often, because in corporate environments there's rules and regulations and it's governed better than in an informal workspace. Mm. Informal workspace is more difficult because who do you actually complain to?
Yeah.
Because they're mostly the manager. And probably the owner. So what do you do, you know? So you either have to tolerate it or you just have to leave because there's no other recourse. How do you manage that if
there's
that's the owner?
Yeah.
And the owner and the manager and everybody else, you know? So it's a very difficult. But it happens.
Okay, we're going to take a very small break. And then when we get back, we're going to discuss what makes the perfect employer, actually. We'll be right back.
Wow, thanks.
Tune in to Cargumentative every Monday morning on Times Live Motoring. You can join myself, Thomas Faulkner, and my regular gang of automotive misfits as we discuss motoring news, views, and of course, have a cargument or two. That's Cargumentative, only on Times Live Motoring.
Welcome right back, guys. Okay, so we're going deeper into this topic now. What makes, Martin, now what makes the perfect employer? What kind of tips should people look out for there?
I don't know if there's perfect employers. But let me all aim to be perfect employers.
I think wherever there's a raise, there's probably a perfect employer.
Oh, yes, obviously.
Oh, yes, like it. You know, I would say it's important to look for specific qualities in a person, you know, if you want a person to really add value. You know, at a kind of company and in a position.
Mm.
And these specifics, you know, strong work ethics is one.
Mm.
You know, it's clearly, you want to see applicants demonstrate their ability to work hard.
Mm.
It's important because nowadays, normally you sort of overworked and underpaid and there's less staff doing all the work. So you want somebody also who's willing to work hard.
Mm, shows interest.
And to stretch, you know, the stretch a bit, you know, and walk that extra mile. You know, it's important for the company, you know. And somebody who's dependable, it's another very important quality. Somebody that can really, that consistency is so important.
Mm.
The dependability is that you know that this person is actually going to be able to deliver on time at the specifics, always does work well. You know, you don't, there's no, what do you call it?
It should be consistent.
Yeah, I think a person who works consistently is more important than a great employee, but to work well sporadically, you know, I think I'd rather have the person who's consistent and dependable and you know you can rely on that person. So yeah, I think that's very important. Obviously the positive mental attitude is key, because you just work better. I think productivity is better anyway, you know, with a positive person.
Mm.
It's very hard to motivate people to be positive.
Mm.
You know, it's actually an inside job. Somebody can motivate. You can go to these seminars and you're all hyped up and whoops.
It goes away, and then it's like
you're back to normal. If you're not self-motivated, you have to be motivated and self. It really, it's an inside job. You have to get up in the morning. So that type of individual sort of also inspires people around them. You know, they become, all becoming, this is very important to work in an environment where people are positive.
Mm.
Okay, and then very importantly, we will also look at somebody who's self-motivated, as I spoke, and then team orientation. You know, most results are achieved in teams. Individuals can work well on their own, and sometimes they achieve brilliant results, and it's above average, but teamwork are almost more important to get the company goals covered. You know, the company goals are more important than an individual's outstanding performance.
Do you feel companies are almost encouraging people to still stay motivated in that sense?
I think so, because at the end of the day, I don't think one individual can make the company successful, even though you might be outstanding. I would rather have somebody who's also a good team player, you know, in a lot of ways. I think it's more important. You still have to be good. I mean, you have to be. But I think the team playing, listen, individualistic people, it's they're great. They're normally outstanding. But I think you must be able to be well aware that you need to be a team player. And then I think that's the most important characteristics I would look at.
And then how do you build a team, like a successful team? Because, different characters come into play.
Yes.
And that's where probably the bullying comes in. That's where, you know, how do you build a positive team?
Well, I think sometimes people don't get jobs because of already existing team that's there.
Mm-hmm.
And you might just not fit into the environment, you know, and just the culture that's around there. Because you get a lot of subcultures in companies as well. You know, each section has got the, as you know, each on their own, you know. So I think some people don't get jobs because of that. Nothing wrong with them. It's just they won't fit into that particular team.
I never thought of it that way.
But sometimes they want change, and then they put somebody in there so that they can bring about the change, you know, especially in the culture. But sometimes people are good, but they won't survive, say, for instance, in that particular environment.
You know, I am thinking it's very important to always check on the company you're about to join or be employed by, because then you can see them on social media now. It's an advantage. And you can understand that culture almost. It's almost a way of slipping in and seeing who are these people that I'm about to work for.
Yeah, listen, I think it's companies got different cultures, eh? And I think you should know up front whether you're going to fit into that guy. You should do your homework. I think Google it, see what the company's like. Look, everybody obviously puts out a nice picture there, but I think it's important to know also what you're up to. I think it's important also to evaluate the people in the interview, who's interviewing you. It's very important. You know, I mean, it's not a one-way communication, really. I think people must start to step up to the plate and also be willing to ask questions, especially when we're not in that space. We're on unskilled and semi-skilled. But in general, I would prefer a person who's asking questions when I'm interviewing somebody. It means that person also wants to find and answers to some questions. They want to also, they don't want to walk out there and say, oh, I should have asked that and I should have asked this and I actually don't know. And, you know, I think also more than one person interviewing people makes sense to me for the employee, the prospective employee as well, because now you can look at the interaction between those managers and those people who's interviewed, you know, the people who's interviewing you, and look at the different personalities. You know, I would even ask and say, listen, what type of personality do you want in this environment? You know, you know, I mean, it's like actually saying, am I going to survive here? You know? And it's like asking, will I fit into it? Yeah. But you just don't ask it that way, but just say, listen, what type of individual will thrive in this environment? Yeah. So I think one must prepare your questions well and ask.
I was going to ask that actually, what questions are best suited during that interview process from the prospective employee?
Listen, if the interviewer hasn't asked you about certain personality traits and stuff, because, you know, people will on the normal old style will be, oh, what's your positives? What's your negatives? You know, and so forth. But normally people don't do that anymore. You know, they're trying to ask more intelligent questions. So what happens is I would ask as an employee, prospective employee, say, listen, what is the most important personality trait you require in here, or one of the two? So it's like, listen, a person who's not going to speak up is not going to survive in that. Or listen, you need to be a hard worker, you know, or something. And you say, okay, I'm both. Okay, I'm good, you know. So I would then ask those questions and say, you know, what is the best? I mean, you can't just ask a general question. So, you know, which one, which, you know what? You must ask specific and say, look, because you know yourself. You're supposed to know yourself. You should know. Listen, I'm a bit of an introvert. However, I'm a hard worker and. Now you ask questions and say, listen, is this going to help in this environment? You know, I'm a hard worker. I might not show. I might not talk a lot. But give me the task. I'm a task-orientated person. So you need to get that out of the team or the one person sitting in front of you so that you can say, you also have to go back home and think about this interview. Do I really want it? Nowadays, people are desperate for jobs. They just take any job. And that's where most people leave their jobs. Not because they can't do the work. They're just unhappy in the environment. And it's so difficult to establish before you're there. Because you don't know what's going on behind closed doors. But most people leave their jobs not because of incompetency or whatever. No, they leave because they're just totally unhappy in the environment.
Well, I say whoever listened to this, I hope that it inspires them to really go and get that job and keep it. Thank you so much for joining us, Marty. I wish we could have a long conversation, but we have to wrap it up. Do let us know what you think on our Twitter page at Sebenza Live and Instagram at Sebenza Live. We will drop some of the information on where you can reach Marty and her people, and you can definitely get that job, Sebenza.
Thank you very much. It was a privilege talking to you.
Thank you
for joining us.